When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And would you be a fanboy who, like, asked for a selfie, or how would that work?
A fan man.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Fan man. I've never heard the expression fan man. It's always fanboy. Like, I call myself a Caitlin Clark fanboy.
Mm.
It doesn't bother me.
Probably bothers her.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Wow, you look normal.
You look great.
I'm telling you what.
I don't see anything.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've got like one little spot here. And other than that, I'm like all healed. It's a miracle.
Crazy.
The human body, am I right?
It can be pretty remarkable when it's working right. Yes. That's crazy. So, Izzy, the reason that we ask you on today, I mean, you're welcome all the time. You're a friend of the show, FOS, but... obviously, we want to talk about the NBA with you and the playoffs and what's next for the Heat and Patrick Beverly and everything. But you're a hip-hop fan, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we're starting with this.
I think we have to. Mm-hmm. It's what everybody's talking about,
yeah.
Okay? There's a song called Noah about the Ark.
Mm.
Okay? It was written...
like a new song.
Well, it's more recent than the Ark. But not okay. by much. It was written and became popular in the 1940s, the mid-1940s. Now,
your wheelhouse.
It's anything that happened before I was born qualifies as ancient history. But what interested me about this song is that I had never heard of it. And I was reading some music website article about it that said this was the first rap song. Okay, this was the this song was the seed of what became rap music. And so I want to play some of this song for you and see if that sounds legit to you, because keep in mind it's like an 80-year-old song. So, you know, don't judge it by what today's hip hop and rap is, but judge it by whether you hear
anything.
Yeah,
I definitely wasn't
going
to judge it by today's hip hop. But when you say 80 years, it does make it sound older than just saying the 40s as somebody who was born in the 70s.
It does. You're right about that. Yeah, it's crazy the way that works. But Christopher, you've heard it, right?
Yeah, I've heard it. Yeti's not here. Like a Yeti would be the one to play it for us right now. Like, I don't have that ability.
I can play it up to my mic. You want me to?
Okay.
Well, after the foundation was laid, then Noah began to hew and build. The ringing of the hammer cried judgment. The hewing of the saw cried sin and repent. 100 years he hammered and sawed, building the ark by the grace of God. When the ark was done, God was...
Okay.
Okay.
So that just sounds like he's singing. Like, is that a hip-hop? Like,
okay. Yeah,
do you know what my dad's saying here, Izzy?
I do. And so I got... when I heard it, if you wouldn't have influenced me by the hip hop angle, which I was influenced by before I heard it, I got just Elvis vibes. I got like,
okay.
And you know, yeah. I don't even know what the song would be. And so to me, I didn't think it was a rap verse, but you're telling me that people who know hip hop better than me have told you that.
I read it on a music website. Now, I cannot cite the site.
Good research by you.
So I don't know how legit this is. I know.
He deleted his browser history every day. Smart man.
But I do know that somebody who's involved in the hip hop genre put this song forth as, hey, is this the origin of rap music? This obscure song from the mid 40s. And I didn't know. I don't know enough about hip hop to know, but
I do know is that they're celebrating, or they recently celebrated 50 years of hip hop. So there would have had to have been a 30-year gap of developing the actual sound for that to have been the first one. So for somebody, maybe somebody in the 70s listened to that song and said, hey, maybe if I, you know, talk it out a little bit more and you know, maybe I can make a different genre of music. But I didn't hear it in that verse. No. Did I just ruin the segment? I think I ruined it.
Okay, that's fair.
I am seeing like on YouTube here, I just typed in, I looked up what these like the name of the song was and first hip hop. And I'm seeing like one YouTube video, some guy, Black Pegasus, with the title First Ever Rap Performance was 1944. And then you see the video in the background. So,
wow. Okay.
Like I'm seeing here that like I see Reddit posts here, the first ever rap performance in the 1940s. So okay. There's at least been enough. Like, I don't know the validity of any of this, but
okay.
I did find myself, it's catchy at the very least, whether it's hip hop right. or not. I did find myself like
the real toe tapper.
Yeah.
Did Noah have a response?
Yeah.
We're waiting.
Like Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, Dad, what are your thoughts on that, by the way? I'd love to hear okay. a Greg Cody minute on that.
Okay, by the way, I'm going to answer that question. But before I go on, the name of the group that sang Noah is the Jubilaires.
Dad, I thought after last week when you just very salaciously used a scar on your face to have our best downloads in 2 years.
Yeah,
I think
coincidentally.
And then when the way you celebrated it, I thought that for sure you were going to lead with Izzy because you and Izzy have like Izzy's had a bad face injury at one point.
Scar buddies.
So I thought for sure that's where you were going to start just to kind of like ride the wave from last week.
You know, Izzy has such a beautiful face. I had no idea.
You've seen the picture. A scar on it. You just have a bad memory.
You've seen the picture. I almost texted you it, but I assumed that you'd seen it before.
I'm pretty sure you joined us when your face still had remnants of it and where you told the story of how it happened. My dad just has a terrible memory.
Yes. Thank you.
I will remind you, and for those who don't know, is that in 2021, I was in Tempe, Arizona. At a flag football tournament and Sunday night, the end of the tournament, late night heading back, decided as a group of four to jump on those little scooters, you know, the little electric scooters that they have downtown available. And, you know, in Arizona, they have some, you know, instead of grass, they have rocks because they can't really grow grass unless you're rich. And so
scooters and rocks go together. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. And so I was turning the corner right to the house and the entire time was paying very close attention. And that when I turned the corner to the Airbnb house, I just kind of like stopped focusing on the ground. I'm pretty sure hit something. Whack, face first. Happened so fast. Got like a bunch of stitches and stitched my right eyebrow back together. Had like a road rash here. I still have a scar here from it.
Wow.
Stitched back together. And I was trying to find the photo as I tell this story. And here it is.
We should run competing photos. Me at my worst and Izzy in about what he's going to show.
Izzy was moving a faster speed than I think you were.
Yeah, I don't know how well you can see that, Greg.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God. You win. Izzy wins. Yeah, Izzy wins, broken
and then
face.
I flew the next day on a plane like this. And that I'm pretty sure you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God for masks, though.
I relate to that. Yeah, at the time, thank goodness.
You look normal in a mask at that point.
Normalish. Wow. But yeah, that was a scary day.
Okay. And is there a remnant, though? Because honestly, I've never noticed a scar on your face.
Yeah, right now I would have to really zoom in there. But yeah, I cover it up when I do the show, so you probably wouldn't notice.
Okay.
While we're talking about scars, I also had 6 stitches in my eye once on a flag football. Reverse, like end around reverse, where me and the kid just ran right into each other.
Yeah. I was there.
No, you weren't. Uncle Dick was there. Well, why would you say that? You just lied. Uncle Dick was watching me and he took me in. Like, you had
how old are you?
I was probably like 9 or 10. You guys were on like a date night or something or at something. Right. And I think you did go to the hospital though. And then you fainted.
Really?
I did. Yeah. Yeah,
is that the first time you've seen him injured like that? Is that why you fainted?
It was. And the nurse brings me in to see him having stitches, like, and they're sewing his eyebrow. And I don't want to see that. And I got very woozy. And I remember the nurse started laughing at me like, hey, Dad's getting woozy here. You know, just a veteran nurse laughing at me. But yeah, that's the memories.
I had a different feeling when I was getting my eyebrow stitched because, again, I was in Tempe. I was in a sort of an urgent care. It wasn't really a hospital. And they called in not a plastic surgeon, just some guy. And as he is sewing my eyebrows together, which they basically had to shave to sew together, he says out loud, man, I hope I get this right.
Oh my God.
Like he said, I line this up right because it's hard. It's hard for me to tell with no hair there. And I was like, don't tell me that, man. Just yeah, seriously. Like,
I thought he was going to say around the horn.
No, that didn't happen. Well,
please do, would have been my response. Please do get that right. That's your job. Line up my eyebrows. Well, they look beautiful, your brows, I have to say. And before we started on this sidelight, I was going to talk about, I was going to analyze Drake versus Kendrick Lamar.
Sidelight?
Well, the sidelight, the side path to talking about scars. And Izzy wins the facial scars, hands down. I have no comment about Drake versus Kendrick Lamar because I think the whole idea of rappers and hip-hop artists beefing with each other and going back and forth is ridiculous almost always, and particularly ridiculous. Christopher's about to roll his eyes. I think it's particularly ridiculous in the context of real conflict, such as America's campuses being policed by authorities saying you can't be a pro-Palestinian protester, and you get it's in the larger context. I think this is a particularly ridiculous
you
beef,
brought it but, there that I didn't see like I was worried when you started talking. Honestly, when you started talking, I was like, this could be bad. Luckily it's a podcast and we can edit anything out, but you took it there. Okay, fine, good.
Okay, but Izzy,
I actually got the idea when you said, when you started there, when you were like, how ridiculous, when you said hip-hop, I was like, wow, other genres should do this. Like, I think Elton John and Billy Joel should write, like, in their style of, like, piano, like, like a diss track. Like,
that would be lovely. Like a musical roast.
Like, that would be so ridiculous.
Like Crocodile Rock, but just, like, talking shit about Billy Joel. Like,
yeah, right. Okay. I remember when Joel was good.
Exactly.
Wow. Look at that. Freestyle.
Okay. We honestly, Dad, should write a parody that, like, you perform that's, like, what it would sound like if, like, Elton John. Did you hear, like, we should do a whole bit of, like, did you hear Elton John and Billy Joel are beefing? And we write a song.
Let's go.
In each style. Now that we're saying it out loud, someone's going to steal it. Or
someone's going
to
steal it.
Actually have to do
no,
it.
No, we should do it. We'll do it for sure. Billy Joel, you do Elton John.
All right. Okay. Boom.
Let's go. All right.
You're going to do like Piano Man?
Ooh, it might have to be Bob Dylan. Might have to be Bob Dylan.
Oh, we have a lot on Bob Dylan. We just saw Bob Dylan and he was terrible.
Oh my God.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh,
I can imagine.
For sure. Okay. So Drake versus Kendrick Lamar, anything there? What do you think?
I mean, there's too much to fit into one podcast. I will just say what I love about Kendrick, and he is the most artistic of the rappers there are. He is, you know, the rapper's rapper. It's the whitest thing I've ever said. He is, instead of just responding, because this was a beef that he didn't really want to get into. Like, he had, you know, taken some jabs here and there, but, and he, as he mentions in his latest one, just kind of gave himself some thought, gave the whole thing some thought, and really said, you know what, I'll go in because I'll just end this. And instead of just ending it, he's also creating a work of art. Like, what he has put out so far is absolute genius. And it's beyond a perfect response to Drake. He's literally giving him what Drake asked for. He said, you better put some quintuple entendres in that thing that I don't even understand. And I'm telling you right now, Drake's people are still figuring out all the quintuple entendres that were in that thing, especially just when it was released, the name of it. It's just insane how good this guy is. And so it's just, he's punching down, but he is doing it spectacularly.
Wow. So Kendrick Lamar is kicking the ass in this beef.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, there's people who can shape the argument and say Drake is, you know, had his way with it or whatever. That's just Drake stands finding, you know, ways to explain it. It's there's no question.
The way I'm going to sound super white here. The way I've interpreted it is like Drake has like the pop and the popularity and the money, not money, but you know what I mean? Like the mainstream popularity, and Kendrick is like the lyricist, and Drake in this beef is trying to claim that he is also the lyricist, and Kendrick's just kind of like, dude, you got the pop hits, like you get the whatever, and I'm like, don't say you're this.
Yeah, so they're both kind of defining the game differently or defining whatever hip hop is differently. Like Drake is just saying, look, the results are the results. People love me and I can, you know, fire back some verses as well. Whereas Kendrick is saying, you were never
right.
part of this. Like
right.
when he said your best work was a light pack, he's talking to Drake. He's basically right. saying you don't have the depth. You don't have the lyrical ability. You
right.
you have 100 ghostwriters. And
you're not actually saying anything in terms right. of like society.
And at the heart, and that's at the heart of what his beef is with Drake. And it just goes further lately with just, you know, the idea that Drake has maybe groomed some young women or been like attached to women of a improper age, and that he flaunts that. And he's just like, that's not our thing, man. And right. so he just has attacked him in every way without actually digging for dirt. And that's one of the things he takes in on Drake too, is that Drake has actually paid money to find dirt on previous rap battles, which is just corny. Like if you go back to the, you know, the heart of rap beefs in the past. And so, yeah, it's thrilling to me. It's I've texted Justin Tindley a few times when it first started, when Like That came out. And I spent about 3 hours on the Rap Genius breakdown of Kendrick's last two songs because he's just so good.
Man, I thought you were going to say Justin Timberlake there for a second. Justin Tinsley's cool, too. I'm just saying you were like, I texted Justin
What a name drop that would have been.
I know. Yeah. I was like, wow. I got so excited. And then yeah. I'm not going to say Justin Tinsley was a letdown. But when I was going there, I mean, but anyways, yeah.
Okay, that's excellent. Now, as somebody who only casually follows hip hop,
I love that you think you casually follow hip hop.
Greg Cody, rap guy.
No. This is how casually I follow it. I'm going to say Drake is the bigger commercial star, but Kendrick Lamar is much more critically admired. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay. That's the extent of my knowledge.
Good job.
See, I'm not pretending.
I mean, Dad, I just kind of said that 5 minutes ago about like how Drake's the popular one and then Kendrick's the lyricist, like the real.
Hey, but again, me maximum. I said it, so now it's verified. Now it's authentic.
You said it. Now it's been said.
Thank you. And if I write it, now it's been read.
That kind of thing.
I mean, that's just the way it goes.
My day up.
Okay. Now, well put. Izzy, I love that we've had you on so long and not gotten around to what most people know as your expertise, which is NBA.
Dad, remember we're recording this on Friday and it comes out on Monday, because I feel like you're going to tackle all the news of the day that no one's going to care about on Monday. Heat, I'm good on talking Heat, but let's save a lot of other stuff for Sunday right. when Izzy won't be with us.
Right. No. you're right. I want to go to the Heat because... You know, I wrote a column basically saying that they need significant change here. You can't be a championship challenging team in this NBA if an aging, injury prone Jimmy Butler is your best player, or if Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo are your two best players. They need a star. Pat Riley has to win an offseason again. What do you think of the future of the Heat right now?
He can't answer that because all he's been watching is Ice Cats.
Oh, I've been watching so much Panthers. I've been watching so much non-Panthers hockey that I'm confusing.
Oh, look at you. The group chat's changed you.
Yeah, it really has.
Okay. We'll get to hockey. Believe me. We're all excited about the Cats.
What do you consider, Greg, significant change before I answer your question?
Okay. I think they need a signature star bigger than Jimmy Butler.
And does that mean moving Jimmy and or Bam? I'm sorry, not and or Bam in that equation?
I would consider Bam almost to be an untouchable.
Okay.
I would not consider Jimmy to be untouchable.
Okay.
You know, if they could have added Damian Lillard last summer when he was begging to be added, that would have qualified, I think.
I like what you're thinking, Dad. Maybe we give up Caleb Martin, Kevin Love. I'm making the joke that all the Heat fans, they want to give up like six of our depth guys and a future first for like the best player in the league. Like,
okay, look,
if you're gonna get anybody that's better than Jimmy Butler, you got to give up Bam. That's it. Should we ever let Izzy talk is the question.
Yeah, as soon as I refute you by saying Jimmy Butler and Tyler Herro both have a lot of trade value.
Not for better than Jimmy.
Okay, now let's hear somebody who knows more than you do talk about it.
So I think the Heat are well positioned to be able to pick up a better position this season, this offseason, than in, let's say, the last two, to pick up a significant star that would upgrade the roster without giving up Jimmy or Bam. And the reason is because they did have a heck of a growth year out of Jovic, a heck of a rookie year out of Jaquez. I think they can trust not to trade him necessarily. If you want to, though, people probably have a higher opinion of Duncan Robinson than they did last offseason. But if not, if you keep him in-house, great. You have a better grasp that he's pretty good. And so I think with Tyler, with some draft picks, with, you know, those young guys who have played well, you can convince a team like Cleveland that isn't really in this, you know, daring their stars to, you know, hit the open market. They know better. Like, especially with somebody like Donovan Mitchell, who's not really theirs, you know. And so I think you can probably get a deal done with Cleveland for Donovan Mitchell. If
he's not better than Jimmy, though.
Yes, he is. He's younger, too.
No, but you're adding him to Jimmy. And offensively, he's definitely better than Jimmy. Like, the situations on offense where you're just like, man, Jimmy, sometimes it just slows down the offense. Or when you need that creator like you had from Terry Rozier, Donovan Mitchell is just a more explosive version of that. And so yeah. I think...
I mean, I actually mentioned Donovan Mitchell in the column I wrote. And look, he's like 6-7 years younger than Jimmy Butler. He averaged 27 points this season.
He wants to play with Bam.
Playoff Donovan.
He's a star in his prime. That's a guy that can be your signature player. Jimmy can't right now.
But let me add this, Greg. Jimmy has to play ball here, because this can't be a situation where Jimmy thinks that he's going to be, you know, the alpha, you know, 1A option for the next 2 years. Therefore, give me my max extension, or give me my, you know, $50+ million extension so that, you know, you'll have me at 37 for $58 million.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
He needs to just recognize that if he's going to get his Kristaps Porzingis the way Tatum and Brown did, he's going to have to be the guy to make the sacrifice. And where the Heat are positioned, it's almost like he has no choice, because they're either going to say, look, you can take the bag, but you ain't winning shit. Like, this coach is not going to work magic. And plus, you've been hurt a lot. And so what do you want us to do?
Right.
And I think he might be put in a position to say, all right, I either don't trust what they're going to build because they've had a few chances, so I am going to ask for the max and then just get me out of here. And then they're free to do, as you say, make a trade for Jimmy Butler, maybe even look to make a move for Kevin Durant, try to make as big a move as possible. But I think because of all those together, the leverage that they have in the Jimmy Butler situation, the young players, and I think that, and the position that other teams are in, I think this is where they're best suited to make a big move to complement them. And if you think about them the same way I compare them to the Boston Celtics, people have said for years, break up Tatum and Brown.
Right.
If they win it this year, they're going to say, see, if we would have listened to you, it would have been a disaster. So I think they have that sort of model to look at.
I think that Jeremy Taché has made a good point about this on the Levitard show, that the last 2 years, the Heat, they eliminated the Celtics. Both last year, they eliminate the Celtics, they eliminate the Bucks. And both of those teams were like, we're going to keep this core, but we need more. So they both made substantial moves to like change the Marcus Smart and then the Dame Lillard. Like, both these teams were kind of like, we need to do something. Now the Heat are kind of in that spot. You just lost to the Celtics. The question is, are you going to commit to this core and trade the Jovic's and Jaquez's to get the most around them now? Or are you going to punt on this core and focus Jaquez and Bam and Jovic and maybe part ways with Jimmy? Or I don't know. But that's the question here, right?
I mean, Brad Stevens set the template, because he's got a really, really good team. And then he adds Porzingis and Jrue Holiday. Okay, the Heat need to do something like that, because the Celtics proved it can be done.
If Jimmy's all of a sudden healthy for 60 games next year and in the playoffs, like, this team
that's a big if.
This team just got, like, I know health's an if, but I get he's getting older, but it's just,
can I make a recommendation?
Yeah.
To the Miami Heat. It's not so much to the Greg Cody podcast.
I was going
to
say, move on topics, because I'm in.
How about Pat Riley? And this is just, you know, just strategically speaking, stop going to the games. Stop being in the spotlight. Stop having the ability for when teams are talking about the Heat and their failed, you know, endeavors or whatever, that they cut to him and Alonzo. Because it's a constant reminder of other GMs saying, we don't want to let that MF-er fleece us. We're not going to make deals with that. Just actually just fall to the background. Let Andy Ellisberg be the face of the organization from now on. He's looks like a lovable person to have to do business with. And just okay.
Lovable.
I'd trade Donovan Mitchell to that guy. You know? So I feel like Pat Riley's success is hurting him, and he needs to just fade to the background a little bit. Zoe too, just because he's a little intimidating.
I think it's let's put Nick Arison. And
Nick's a good one.
And Ellisberg.
Yeah.
In the zone.
Who wouldn't want to trade with those guys?
Yeah, look at them. They're friendly.
Okay. Izzy, I want to leave basketball for a second, but
can we talk about Messi being my neighbor?
Oh.
Whoa, in a minute. Yes, I want to get to that. I want to get to that. But first, I want to ask one more Heat question. Mm-hmm. I have to do it. I'm asking this half seriously and half comically. Okay. Put this on a scale of ridiculously silly to shockingly plausible. LeBron James rejoins the Miami Heat.
God.
On the scale of, I forgot the scale already. I would put it square in the middle. I would not put anything past LeBron. I think LeBron definitely wants to create one more super team and, you know, make a run for a title. I don't think that can happen here. But if he plays like three more years and, you know, one of them can be with Bronny down here, maybe, but
yes.
I doubt it.
I love it. Trading Jimmy away and getting somehow older.
Older.
I know. LeBron at 40 is the only guy I would say that about because he's still great.
And it honestly makes sense for LA. If he's going to retire anyways, who are you going to get out there? Who are you going to get out there that's better than Jimmy Butler?
By the way, if you want to know if you ever forget how old LeBron is, just listen to his podcast with JJ. He'll tell you like every 10 seconds. I'm 39.
Really? Okay. We didn't know. So tell me about having Lionel Messi as a neighbor. Does he borrow a cup of sugar from you? How does that work?
Well, no, he lives in a community over from mine, which is, you know, the rich people community. And I could if I wanted to. I'm not going to be that type of neighbor. I could take the boat, you know, over and float by his house and check him out.
Dude, I think that's the play. You get on the boat, you go over and you're like, I'm a little lost. The old I'm lost. Like it's a gas station. The old, hey, can you help me get on my way here?
Yeah, there's actually, you could probably Google it. You could see what the house looks like from the top. Smart move by him. He changed the color of the roof. So people won't be able to tell by the color of the roof because in the photo, it's, you know, from the top with the helicopter shot or whatever. But yeah, it's strange because, you know, there's a lot of huge Messi fans in the area. And there's a couple of times where they've had home games where I'm pulling in like the same turn that he would be. Pulling into that turn, and there's people in the corner with signs, just I guess hoping that he sees them and stops, and they'll never know if he does.
Really?
He doesn't stop, right? Because he'll just, I don't think they know what kind of car he drives.
I got news for you. Those people know what kind of car he drives.
That's a good point. That's a good point. They're probably walkie-talking from the arena,
They know what his security car is, his...
Yeah, that's some scary stuff. But they don't get anywhere close to his neighborhood. I don't want to make him think that he lives in some unsafe area. But
does he drive? Because I've got him in a Toyota Tercel.
I don't know what he drives. I do know what his boat looks like. I'll just say it's got some Inter-Miami colors.
So just a bad car you had him in, Dad? That was it? That was the joke?
I haven't thought of the Toyota Tercel in 25 years.
I'm there for you. Thank you. See, for those of you who don't know, it's a modestly priced car. A car you would not associate Lionel Messi with driving.
You know what? Now that I think about it, we actually would share a Publix. So if he actually does go to Publix, I would potentially run into him there.
Wow. Would you be a fanboy who like asked for a selfie or how would that work?
A fan man. But yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. fan man. I've never heard the expression fan man. It's always fanboy. Like I call myself a Caitlin Clark fanboy.
Mm.
It doesn't bother me.
Probably bothers her.
and if it doesn't, it should. By the way,
Greg, I'm seeing myself in it. I didn't even realize I was wearing the shirt. So the shirt says "Welcome back, Otter."
Excellent.
And it's got like what's his face, like a hair on top of an otter, right?
Okay.
The teacher, I forget his name right now. Gene Kaplan, Gabe Kaplan.
Oh, Gabe Kaplan.
Wow. Well, yeah. Which one's the baseball player? Which one's "Welcome back, Otter"?
Gene is Gabe
Kaplan,
right?
Okay. Anyway, I wore this shirt and I had to fully explain to someone what the show Welcome Back, Kotter was and who John Travolta was. And never felt older in my life. And I think I probably put the shirt like on the bottom of the drawer for a while and I haven't worn it in a long time. But like, I was offended that people don't know Welcome Back, Kotter, with the greatest, yes. I'm not even going to argue this with anybody, the greatest theme song in television history.
Yes. I don't know what that
oh
is.
My God, give me
I know who John Travolta is, if that makes you feel better.
You don't know Welcome Back, Kotter, like the show.
Mr. Kotter.
Welcome back.
Oh, Welcome Back. I do know welcome that back, the song my dad just started. Yeah, like I've heard that song before. Yeah. I didn't know that was a theme song to a show, though.
It's who sings that song? It's a famous guy.
It was also turned into a hip hop song in like the 2000s, right?
Was it Master P or was it Mace?
Welcome back. Yeah, it was Mace.
It was Mace.
Yeah. Okay, but who sang the original song?
Oh,
it was a member of a group, like a, gosh, I can't believe I don't know.
John Sebastian.
John Sebastian of the Lovin' Spoonful. He sang that song. And you're right, Izzy, it was a great song.
Second theme song ever.
It was a Dukes great song.
That's your number two?
That's my number two. I should have thought of a top five list and come to the show with it, but I did not. That was my top two.
Fitting. You have the Dukes at number two.
That is a weird shirt. I will give you that.
I love it. I am loving this shirt.
I'm never going to wear shirts that age me ever again.
Okay. How about this shirt? Do we like this shirt?
Libertad para Cuba.
This is the Liberty for Cuba shirt that I wanted to wear to Cuba, and your mother almost threatened to divorce me if I brought that on the plane.
Yeah. Like, think about this, Izzy, for a second. Like, think about this. My dad wanting to be a freedom fighter.
That's correct.
I don't think you were prepared for what you were going to face if that were to happen.
That's a thank you. Thank great. You. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, because so it was rough tough. Getting through the airport.
He knew that my mom would stop him. He almost, I bet you did that on purpose. Like, you were never actually going to wear it.
You'll never know.
Yeah.
Sounds so fun to be married to. I don't know. So the Florida Panthers, eh?
Well, you know what? We're you know, they won't find out until tomorrow night who they play. We're taping this on Friday.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter who we play because you could combine both those rosters and you're not beating the Panthers. Okay, wow. That's probably not true because okay. those are two right. solid teams. And if you combine them and made one, that'd be a pretty good team.
Look at Izzy. What do you got there?
It's an Aaron Ekblad bobblehead.
There he is. And I'm telling you, he's an ice cat guy.
Not a lot of Ekblad fans.
That is true. He's been better. He's been better than fans think this season, though. A lot of the criticism was last year. He was on the ice for every big goal they gave up, but
injured a lot. Yeah.
Not 38th best in the playoffs, but better.
I mean, he's being overshadowed now by Montour and Forsling, but I just think as the guy, he's now a second line almost defender. So
I've never learned more about a sport or about the art of group chatting. And being in this damn group chat, like, it is amazing. It's a lot to keep up with, don't get me wrong, but there's also pressure to keep up because you just don't want to get lost. You definitely don't want to accidentally, you know, repost something and have to take a chuggy, even though those are kind of fun. But yeah, I've learned a lot about hockey. I've learned a lot about, you know, group chat rules. I've learned how much I hate Invisible Ink.
I hate that too. They do that too much. I don't even read those
what
messages.
What does that mean?
Yeah, if you it's can a do picture. This thing, it's, you just gotta like.
I don't know how to do
phone,
the pictures.
It's too much.
The text I can do. I don't know how to look at the pictures. I put my finger on it once. Nothing happens. And I just, Dad, it's basically this ability you have with iPhones. Yours probably not because you still have the button in the middle.
Hello. Always will.
Like, think about that, guys. That's like the iPhone like 9. Like the,
hello
with the button, but there's like different things you can do to your text. So I can send a text and all of a sudden it's like invisible and you have to slide your finger across it to see what it actually says.
Why?
And sometimes the pictures are so big and like, you know, you need a big finger. So you got
to
like,
you can make pictures that look like blacked out. So you have to like touch the photo and then like almost like,
and you got to look at it quickly because it goes invisible again.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I dislike group chats of more than four people. Like even four people in a group chat stresses me out.
Yeah.
No, I go to like immediate hide alerts on all group chats.
Oh no, it's a hide alert for sure. I mean, I'm telling you, if you're watching like during hockey, like when hockey games are going on, there's hundreds of chat of texts flying in. Like if you if you're at a dinner for like 2 hours and look at your phone and you haven't looked at it, you're going to see like 142 text messages.
Yeah.
Christopher, tell me about this group chat because I'm not in it, nor will I ever be.
I'm going to add you right now, actually.
Okay. Tell me about it. Is this...
Do you want to know some of the names, if I'm allowed to say?
Well, just name them. Is this one with Mike Ryan?
Did this on Cinephile, actually, this past week I unveiled some of the names.
Thank you for mentioning me, by the way. Marty Fish is in our group chat.
Marty Fish.
I thought I dreamt that one, too. Because it might have been one of the, like, you know, full bottle of wine nights and didn't really remember exactly who joined. And I was like, whoa, Marty Fish. That's crazy.
Who else?
John Isner, Chris the Bear Felica.
Okay. Any big names?
Izzy Gutierrez. Okay. Hey. Greg Cody. I mean, okay. Who are you?
I'm kidding.
And Mike,
Adnan.
Adnan Virk's in it.
Well, how about that? Speaking of Mile a Minute. Does he text a mile a minute as well?
apparently there's like UM baseball royalty in there because
of Ron Frazier weighing in on hockey.
Mike was making fun of me for not mentioning on Cinephile that how many.
I do know who I think that is, but I don't want to say because I don't want to be wrong.
Okay. UM saves. He's like half of UM's all-time saves are in this chat or something. I don't know what he like made some joke like that, but anyway.
And how many people are in the group chat?
I think it's like 20-something.
31.
Oh, 31. Wow.
31. Okay. All right.
And this is going to sound horrible. I know probably 20 times more about hockey today than I did writing columns about the Panthers for the Miami Herald. But the amount of fakery that was going through, you know, my fingers as I typed was embarrassing.
Trust me.
Back then. Now, I'd kill a column or two.
Wow. Come back. Make a comeback. The newspaper industry needs you.
My dad's like, write one for me. I'm still faking it.
The newspaper industry needs me, but I think what the newspaper industry needs is money so then they can hire me.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, Dad, I'll put you in the group chat so you can learn as much as Izzy. I'm going to throw you in right now.
You know what? I will do this. I will come in the group chat.
Whoa.
I will tweet that kind of thing, and then I will never be heard from again in the group chat. That will be my one and only contribution.
That's all you need.
That's all I'm going to do.
And then he sees his first invisible ink, and then he yells at Chris for 10 minutes because he doesn't understand it. Christopher! Please explain what's going on here.
No, it's an easy way to get him involved. You bait him. You just play that Noah rap verse and start debating it in the chat. And there's no way he'll stay out of that.
That's the thing. You're not that the rules of the chat. And Izzy, you say like learning the rules, like Mike has, not everyone has these rules for group chats, but it is an intense environment where if you repost something someone's already said in the group chat, you have to do a chuggy. If you talk about anything that's not hockey in the hockey group chat, like if you bring up a baseball fact, that's a chuggy because they.
Oh, for the love of God.
Just got to put a hockey angle to it.
There's a baseball one, too, that I'm in with Mike Ryan and 20 other people that talks Marlins, Izzy. We can throw you in that one if you want to get back into baseball.
No. I don't like Mike Ryan is a crazy person. I don't know how he does all these things. Listens to all this music, watches all these shows. No idea.
We have a golf one, too. We have a highlight group chat for our Cyclones.
Is Stu Gatz in the golf one?
No.
Oh, if he was, I wanted in. No offense.
No, Marty Fish is.
The highlight group chat must be the smallest group chat on earth.
No, actually, it's like probably 15 people. It's a few of my friends.
That's
like,
a lot, Greg.
It's like the people that we have out there. Okay. It's like all Mike's friends in that. Like,
I think
group.
The smallest group chat on earth is David Sampson's. No, that's a short joke.
I was like, wow, that was.
Hey, I like that.
Catching a stray.
By the way, I want to say, because we've been music heavy today with Noah.
And we're wrapping up here soon. We're wrapping up here.
Okay, but first I want to mention this. Country artist, Randy Travis. And everybody knows the name, right?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's from North Carolina, Marshville.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Tragically.
Yet he answered that faster than he answered the question about bidets for...
You love that clip when Greg asked if bidets could be used as for sexual gratification.
That was a quick yes.
That's a good reference. That's a good reference. Good callback. Anyway, Randy Travis, very, very popular, had a terrible stroke in 2013, lost his voice, dropped off the face of the earth. He just came back with a new song.
Jack
found its voice.
That is an AI rendition of his voice.
I should wait till you finish before I start saying things.
So it's not his voice.
No, he still can't sing because of the stroke, but he has an AI rendition of his voice, and he's putting it out as if it's a single, as if it's a new song by him. And I don't know how to feel about that. I'm scared by AI. I'm grateful that he's back in the spotlight with this song, but obviously it's sort of fraudulent. I mean, how do you guys feel about that?
I'll tell you how to feel about it. It's his voice. It was his voice. It was, you know, they have a whole bunch of music to prove what he sounded like. And if he's recreating it because he lost it medically, I'm fine with that. Where we have the problem with AI is what Drake did. And I'll fill you in here. And one of his responses, his second response to Kendrick, he used an AI generated Tupac and an AI generated Snoop, which is weird. Snoop's still alive. Could have asked him to do it. Wow. And did two verses as if it was them, sort of anti-Kendrick. And the Tupac estate, I guess, put out a cease and desist and haven't asked him to get rid of it, largely because Lamar and Tupac's folks, like they're tight. Like, he's a West Coast rapper. It's stupid for him to choose Tupac for that. But then he had to get rid of it. And so it still lives on YouTube. But if you go to like Apple Music or whatever, you'll only hear Drake's portion of it, not the two first ones, because he had to get rid of it. So that type of stuff, I think, is BS. But I think the music industry will, you know, filter out and sift those fools out, if you will. I don't think you're going to get much of that really as a threat.
I hate the functionality of it, but you know, for the purposes, he wrote the song. He's using a generation of his voice. Okay, yeah, I can. That's fine. But there are people you can create there. You could go onto a site right now and say, make me a song that says these words in this style, like in a rap rock style, like a nu metal, you know, something like this earlier this week. And I hate it. One, it's soulless. It's not, your music's supposed to have soul to it, and it's soulless. And two, it's eventually going to get good enough to where music labels will be like, why do we need to pay artists? Let's just make a dance track that everyone can party to without thinking about the human consequences.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, it really disturbs me. I was listening to something during the day job this week where someone talked about writing an email and putting it through the AI generator, asking it how to help them sound more empathetic.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, what are we doing? You are literally asking a computer to help you sound more empathetic.
That's ridiculous.
What are we doing?
My wife was telling me that at the job she just left, that they use ChatGPT for every major thing that they need to say.
Wow. Do you think I can get some good 7-on-7 flag football players on ChatGPT?
I'm telling you. I mean,
that's me transitioning to, I got a game in an hour, so I got to go.
Yeah. No, we're wrapping up.
And by the way, this Randy Travis song is called Where That Came From. I listened to it today, and
my dad doesn't know idea what we're talking about.
It's a facsimile of his voice. It's not his voice. I mean, it's obvious. Anybody who remembers Randy Travis from his heyday listens to that and goes, wow, that's a fake Randy Travis voice. You know, that's not him singing. And so it's sad. You know, it's sad for him, but I think it's sad for the state of creativity in general when you have AI interloping in all this. So,
all right, I got to pee.
Oh, you haven't done a break at all yet?
No, we'll be right back.
Oh, man.
Wow. It is a long time without a break, right?
Out came the sun, and there ain't no more where that came from.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Guys, let me talk to you about Sheets and Giggles. This is the last episode. Right now is your last chance to put orders in for your mom for Mother's Day. Change your mom's life. I'm telling you, last Mother's Day, I got my mom new sheets, new pillows, new pillowcases, new comforter, everything. And she texts me once a month about how she wants more Sheets and Giggles sheets because they're just the best thing she's ever had. And I gave it to her for Mother's Day. And she was like, wow, what a thoughtful. I didn't expect this. It's out of left field. It's not just a card or flowers like you do every year. It's a thoughtful gift that really makes the people know that you love them. SheetsGiggles.com/Greg, promo code HOTMOM. Okay, your mom's hot. My mom I'm not going to say that. Your mom's hot.
You said it last year. Say it now.
Fine. My mom's hot too. Go to SheetsGiggles.com/Greg. Promo code hot mom. It's your last chance right now before Mother's Day. This is it. Change your mom's life. She will love you forever. I love you forever. Go now. Bye.
Sheets. Buy sheets.
Yes. Buy sheets.
It's a frozen Joe Johnson.
There I am, bathed in the whiteness of the messy room. Hey, it's good to see everybody.
Hi, Joe.
There's that immaculate audio. I remember that audio.
I miss you walking your dog on my block. Where you been?
You know, it's the time change, and then we eat at different times, so we go a little bit later. I used to see you standing over there guarding the car out there before, and we just pop over and see what's going on.
Greg, what would you have done if he had said, well, my dog passed away but 2 months ago, and it's been really difficult on me?
I would have offered condolences and moved on. I mean, you know, it's a dog. You know, we all get over dogs dying. I've lost a couple. We move on.
And don't tell me about the dog dying. Remember the Casey Kasem tape?
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's right.
I just learned this week that he used to be the voice of Shaggy for like 20 some odd years or so.
I'm Casey Kasem.
There's a famous outtakes of Casey Kasem circulating. You can probably find it on YouTube. I would say the F-bombs are flying.
Oh, my God. I have heard that. It's hilarious.
It is good.
Was he like a hero of yours at all, like a role model, or how'd that work?
You know, more a Rick Shaw kind of a somebody locally in the market.
Ricky Ticky.
I always thought his voice was corny and had a big fake effect to it and stuff. And the stories were kind of, but coming up next, I'll tell you about a guy who killed his whole family and still went to heaven. Stay there.
in homage to Rick Shaw, did you ever consider wearing like a Greek fisherman's cap?
I might have one. He gave me one, and I probably wore it just, you know, like when I was hanging out with him or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe Johnson, Beetle Brunch host, expert, worldwide authority on the greatest group of all time.
The Hee Haw Three.
What, Chris?
Bud Day no, Up.
Just a group of a karaoke group that my dad started.
That's true. Okay. Anyway, we asked Joe on because the Beatles' Offspring just put out a new song.
Primrose Hill. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Primrose Hill. James McCartney and Sean O'Lennon got together on a new song.
And, I feel like we could let Joe do this. I feel like just no, your no, setup.
It's okay. Do it, Greg. You're good. You're good.
You know what? I listened to it once. I thought it was, I don't even want to give my opinion. I want to know what you, the Beatles expert, thinks of this production.
Well, I thought it was kind of sparse. There's not a lot of instrumentation. It's kind of like a strumming in the background and maybe a little echo and there's some kind of like tap it or a little, you know, percussion thing. And I'm not sure who's singing lead, if it's Sean or if it's James.
Yeah, it's James. I looked it up. Sean didn't perform on it at all. He just helped. He helped compose and write some of the lyrics. And,
okay, you know, that surprises me. Yeah.
You know, when your dad is Paul McCartney, it takes you a while, I guess, to make inroads. And he's 47, but he's had, you know, several albums, a couple of EPs. You know, he started out by going undercover, you know, just using a pseudonym when he would do a gig, so he could really get the real feel, you know, how he really sounded. And he sounds a little shy and everything, but I sent. I sent you one of the pictures. You might not be able to share it, but what he would look like if he had a full head of hair, and he would look just like Paul McCartney when Paul was like 20.
His smile looks like McCartney. I mean, you can tell they're related.
I mean, I think the big question, the first thing that I thought of is, are they going to call the writing partnership Lennon and McCartney? So, I mean, they could. It's, you know, it's not like Yoko's going to protest, and it's not like Paul McCartney's going to say anything. So right. They could really get away with it. I mean, Greg, if you and I did it, we'd probably.
if we produced a song as Lennon and McCartney, you and I, yeah, we might get in trouble.
What if we spelled them differently? See, there was also a thing going in around in 1962 where it was, if you look at your old records, Please Please Me, and the ones before we got Beatle records, they say McCartney Lennon.
Oh, wow.
So like, Please Please Me, McCartney Lennon. Hey, let me do McCartney Lennon. Up until the point where John says, sounds better, Lennon McCartney. So they switched everything around. So this might, maybe they could put it back, honestly, put McCartney on the left. And so it would be James McCartney, and Sean Ono Lennon and kind of bring it back.
Jack.
I thought it sounded more like a Lennon vocal. Did you?
And I'll tell you why. Because he used Lennon loved doubling his vocals. And yes. I mean, Paul would do it some, but not nearly as much as John. He, especially as he got older, he doubled even more and more and more. And James does that. He doubles his vocals and he's singing kind of in a wispy tone, which fits John, especially on John's softer songs. It fits it pretty well. So the doubled vocals there, along with the wispy delivery, is what's giving you that feel.
Yeah, I think it's good. I don't know who's, I mean, I would play it on Beatle Brunch, but outside of that, maybe the Beatles channel or somebody would give it a spin. But, you know, this, when I think of all these different versions of the Beatles, you know, one-offs from the parents and everything, I think this is what we should do. I think James McCartney, Sean Lennon, Julian Lennon, Danny Harrison, Zach Starkey should all become a band. Here come the Suns.
Wow.
And the greatest brilliant. Thing is Jason Starkey is a drummer, but he gave up drumming to be a tour manager.
Okay.
So we got half the thing going.
Here Come the Suns is brilliant as a name of that offspring band.
There's going to be some tribute group that will try to sue them for that too.
Well, you know what would happen is it's unfair to the women that want to be in the band. So what, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. Here Come the Sons and Daughters doesn't have the same ring to it, you know?
That's true.
Joe, we'll let you go, but I wanted to ask you one last question. For my money, Julian Lennon with Much Too Late for Goodbye, I think was the name of the song. That was a legitimate hit.
Yeah, it was.
Like, that was a big song. That was all over the radio. Is that the biggest hit by far of any Beatle offspring thus far?
Oh, yeah, you might be right. I mean, in the dance halls and stuff, maybe Sean has had something in the dance tracks. But I think you're right. But also Valot is on that album. And that's the one where when they played that, I was working at Love 94. They played that and it was instantly was like, wow, big goosebumps there. But
yeah, you're right.
Zach Starkey's probably had the most as far as like acclaimed work, though, right?
Sure,
being the drummer for The Who and Oasis.
Yeah, that's pretty great. And go ahead. But
does Primrose Hill carry any weight, any heft in the overall canon of the Beatles when you incorporate what the Offspring have done? Does this matter, this new song?
Yeah, you know, everything. Listen, that Let It Be is, depending on when the people are hearing this, Let It Be is coming out next week, the film. But you have to watch it on Disney Plus. I still haven't gotten used to, all those apps. But anyway, you get to see it on the Disney Plus channel. And so I think the more stuff that comes out, the madder the people get, because they go, well, what about that flub that John made on that one track? When are you going to release that? You know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or Giles Martin maybe fixing things, you know, where there used to be a tape blip or a dropout or a missed vocal or something. I think it's great that there's 60 years for us and we're still talking about them. And, you know,
it's wonderful. Joe, tell people how they can consume Beatle Brunch.
We have the Beatle Brunch Club because we're always wondering when the oldies stations are going to sign off. So just beatlebrunch.com or brunchradio.com. It's like $4 a month or even less than that if you do a year. You can listen to, I've been doing the show 32 years, so I don't have every show up, but we have hundreds, probably maybe 1,000 shows on demand. And every time we do a new show, I put a bonus track or something else on there. So if it was the show was too long, I use it for the member version. So that's how beetlebrunch.com works. And long live the Beatles, Sergeant Pepper.
Yes. And long live Joe Johnson, by the way.
Long live Greg Cody, right down the street.
Okay.
In the picture, it's over here.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Good to see y'all. Chris, try and stay quiet, will you?
Thanks. Good advice. He won't take it, but it's good advice.
Dad, we've already done enough riveting podcasting so far.
It has riveted.
I mean, that Beatles conversation. But
it was great. Fantastic.
We got to do Panthers predictions because it's Monday. Game one is tonight.
Yep.
And I know we're both going to go homer here. So it's just a matter of how many games we think this goes, right? Like, we don't need to tease. Like, there's no tease here. Neither of us is picking the Bruins.
I will agree with that.
Do you go neither or neither? Neither of us?
I go neither. I think neither is ostentatious.
I think if you're saying it isolated, it's neither. But if you're saying it in a sentence, like it's weird to start a sentence, neither of us. I feel like neither of us sounds better.
Well, like I say, it's highfalutin. You know, it's, you know, you're showing off, quite frankly.
Yeah.
When you go neither. You know, I can't think of another example. There's other
Chris
words.
Chris Whittingham
like that.
Says neither is what you're saying.
Of course he does. Yes. Okay. Right. Exactly. Like, you know, Caribbean, Caribbean, there's just certain words that go either way and both are sort of accurate, but I'm a neither guy. 100%.
So I'm going to take the easy way out and go superstitious. The first series, I predicted it to go seven, and the Panthers won it easily. So I'm just going to predict this one to go seven, and then hopefully it goes easily.
Okay.
I think Panthers
it won't
win.
Go easily.
I think Panthers go, win in seven.
Okay. And I think you're right to the degree it won't go easily. You know, not to be a naysayer, but Boston was 4-0 against Florida in the regular season. Now, two of them were OT games, so it's not like there was a great separation, but it is tough. And also, if you believe in intangibles, stuff like incentive, you know, Boston's the team that lost in seven games in the postseason to Florida last year. So you would think that the incentive might be on their side.
Yeah, but the Panthers lost in the championship. Like, no one's got more incentive to get back to the championship than the Panthers.
Okay. I'm just saying, Boston, though, it's going to be tough. I'm going to pick them in six. Because I think Florida's clearly the better team.
You think they win in Boston in game six?
I think they win in six games. That's all I'm going to say. Now, you know, I'm back covering games because I'm healed from my injury. So I'm going to be at the opener tonight, Monday night. I'm also going to be at Wednesday's game. I'm missing bowling again. I'm going to announce it right now for all the fans of our bowling
team. I'm missing bowling too.
Are you at the game?
Of course I'm. I mean, I can't go on Monday tonight. I know you just did that thing acting like we did this in Monday. It's tomorrow. But right. the Lebatard show is doing a watch along thing with,
of course they are,
Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. So
okay, all
so
right,
I'll be there.
Okay,
and I am so excited to miss game one. Man, am I happy to be doing that.
I'll be there. I'll be there rooting for you. Okay, so let's move on because we both think the Panthers are going to win, and I don't think that's homerism. I think the Panthers are the better team. I think it's the year of the cat. And now let's see them prove it.
I mean, that is homerism, but yes, a lot of people, to your point, a lot of people are picking the Panthers.
Yeah. I think they're the betting favorite. I would have to check with our friends at DraftKings.
In this series, they definitely are. They're not the betting favorite to win it all, but they are the betting favorite in this series.
It's still Colorado, right, to win it all?
No, it's Carolina. And then Edmonton.
Carolina is what I meant.
And then Edmonton, and then us.
Okay, Edmonton. Good Lord. Are you serious?
Yep.
Okay, before I get to F1, you were at F1.
I was there on Saturday for the qualifying.
Okay, that's cool. It's a Grand Prix race. It's great. It's a wonderful addition 3 years now to the South Florida sports calendar. But before we do that, I want to talk briefly about the Dolphins signing Odell Beckham Jr. Give me your thoughts first.
No, it was kind of in the talks for a while. I think a lot of Dolphins fans who follow a lot of shit on the internet were expecting it.
Since March, right?
I think I don't know. Like, it's not very exciting podcast, but to me, it's just like a net neutral. Like, I'm not super excited about it, but I don't hate it. It's just, yeah, like he I could see him being a nice third guy for us.
Okay. I think the third guy right now is Braxton Berrios, who is a good third guy.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I think he is.
He had like how many catches did Braxton Berrios have last year?
Okay, it's because
Braxton Berrios is good because he's good at catching fair catches. You know, he's never going to drop.
Okay, nobody in that offense, when you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, no third receiver is going to shine.
Also, nobody around the league thinks of Braxton Berrios as like a threatening third option.
Okay, but here's my take on Odell Beckham Jr. as a third option. Big name, no longer a big game. Okay? I'm not pissing on the guy. It seems like he's been around forever. He's only 31 years old.
It'd be weird if you were pissing on him.
Okay? But Odell Beckham, he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season since 2019. His last Pro Bowl was in 2016. It's been a long time since this guy's lived up to his name. That's right. So I'm just saying, I hope he does better than what he's done lately. Tell me about F1. I'm interested.
Ooh, was that you like ripping the Dolphins? Like, that was like you ripped that pick a little. You don't like put it on the scroll. Greg Cody, not a fan of the Odell Beckham signing.
Okay, listen, I wasn't a fan of their draft.
And by the way, okay, Braxton Berrios last year, 27 receptions, one touchdown.
Like, okay. All right. Nobody in that offense other than Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle does anything.
So you're saying
they're trying another tight end now.
So you're saying that the third best statistics offensively can't be better than that?
No, what I'm saying is Odell Beckham Jr.
He will do better than 27-1 this year.
If you have any life left in your career, now's the time to show it. The Dolphins him a lifeline.
Listen, like, I mean, obviously.
Okay. The reason that they signed Odell Beckham to a 1-year, fairly minimal contract laden with incentives is that there was not a great market for this guy.
Obviously, okay,
nobody was running. I think to
He was looking for an offense that's going to make the playoffs, where he can kind of try to sneak into a. I think if you get 50 receptions and like 5 touchdowns, that's like a money season.
Okay, if Odell Beckham catches 50 passes and 5 touchdowns, I will buy that house in the Middle Keys that you always want me to buy.
Oh wow! All right,
okay,
Yeti, mark this down. Wow.
Okay.
That is exciting. And okay, if he doesn't, I have to shut up about it. Can we lower this a little?
No.
Can we say 45-3?
No, we cannot.
How about 45-4?
How about 50-5? Because I'm putting up a lot of money on my side of the bet. What are you putting up?
Because I think 50 is a lot for 50 catches is a lot.
That's why I'm betting all the money I'm betting.
Hold on. He's going to get hurt. Hold on. No. Hold on. I'm excited about this. We got to do this.
And you're writing it down right now.
No. I'm doing 17, like 45 divided by 17. Yeah, 45-5. All right, I'll stay at 5 touchdowns, but we come down 5 receptions.
No, we don't. No, we stay at 50.
45-5.
No.
Dan, 45-5, 45 catches.
You listen, Junior, you have no leverage here.
45 catches.
I'm the one
catches.
Putting up a bunch of money on this bet. You're putting up nothing. The bet was 50-5. That's the bet.
Hold on. Let me look up last year's reception leaders.
I mean, it's 17 games. That's less than 3 catches a game. Okay? He's Odell Beckham Jr. OD beep.
All right.
No, OBJ. What do they call him? OBJ. Should be ODJ.
All right, here we go.
No. Okay, what am I thinking?
OBJ. Right, sorry. What are you doing?
Okay. I know.
I'm trying to see who had 45 catches last year and who had 50.
All right, I don't care. Move on to F1.
You know what? Fine. You're right. He can get 45 this year. He'll get 50. All right. F1 was fine. It beat the shit out of me. I think I like caught a bug there or something. I enjoyed it. I went there around 11:30 with my wife. And by about 1 p.m., I had like one high noon and I felt like I had like 6 of them. My body was just drained. And it was so weird because I had only been there an hour. We stayed for about another hour and a half of walk. God, do you do a lot of walking there? So yeah. It was like that type of environment was like the worst type of environment when you feel like you've just gotten really tired. So
right.
I don't want to kind of like let that affect my judgment of F1. I didn't get the full experience because I kind of started to feel like shit as soon as I got there. But I do get it. And it is very impressive. Like we definitely walked around, got to see the cars whizzing by us from a few spots. It's a ton of people there. A ton of food options, a ton of walking. Did I mention the walking part?
Yep.
But it's cool the way you like can walk in the stadium and go up to the 300 level and kind of look over the whole track, or you can go down and get up to the fence and see them whiz by you. So it's they give you a lot of perspective. I think it's kind of one of those things where you want to have the good experience, because there were a few areas that our general campus pass wouldn't let us, because her and I just had the GA campus pass. So
okay,
I think if you really want to enjoy it, you spend the money and you go into like the Hard Rock Beach Club or the
right.
So like if you're prepared, if you just want to experience it and do a lot of walking and not have a lot of shade, then do the GA experience. But if you want to like really enjoy it, I think you gotta pony up the dough and, you know, get one of the good spots.
I'm surprised you weren't riding the Skipper Dime going high end.
Because it was a last minute thing, and the tickets that I got access to were not the high end tickets. What do you want from me?
No, you know,
I was able to get a hookup on some tickets, and they were GA. So that's okay. That's that.
Hey, that kind of thing. All right, we're running long. Let's do dad jokes and 3 facts.
We could just go.
Let's get the hell out of here.
We could just go.
Yeah, but let's do them because people want them.
Go ahead.
Okay, where's my sound?
I don't have it. Yeti's not here.
Okay. Dad jokes. Number three. What is a basketball player's favorite jewelry?
A brick watch.
Hoop earrings. Number two.
Isn't brick a brand of watch?
I don't think so. Why would it be?
Okay.
Number two. If athletes get athlete's foot, what do astronauts get?
Brick watches and company. Say it again.
If athletes get athlete's foot, what do astronauts get?
I don't know.
Mistletoe.
That's good.
Number one.
Not really.
What did the farmer, and this is, you know, this is a good one. What did the farmer give his wife for Valentine's Day?
I don't know.
Hugs and kisses.
Bad.
Good. No, like hugs and kisses, but hugs.
All right, three things and interests. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Number three, the most played song of all time on jukeboxes is the 1961 Patsy Cline hit Crazy, written by Willie Nelson.
That was like the Taylor Swift stream record before it was around, huh?
Number two, Oscar winners, before receiving custody of their statuette, must sign a legally binding contract agreeing to never sell their Oscar before first offering it back to the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences for $1.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would, that's an offer that they ask. I would be like, I kindly decline that. Thank you.
Okay, but then you can't sell your Oscar statue anywhere else. That's the legally binding contract.
Wait, so you can't get it unless you sign that?
Right. If you don't sign that contract, you don't get the Oscar.
I thought it was something you could decline to sign. Like, no,
I don't believe so. Number one, the saxophone was invented by a Belgian man named Adolf Sax.
I think we should start...
S-A-X.
I think we should start making people, when they buy Greg Cody merch, Greg Cody Show merch, they have to sign something that says they won't sign it. They won't sell it to someone else.
A Greg Cody t-shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're thinking the market value for that is like through the roof.
And if they have to, we'll take it back for a dollar.
We will. Unless it's been like marred, right. Like scarred, or, you know, if you autograph my t-shirt, it devalues. Mm. Actually, it might increase in value. Anyway, are we done?
If that's it, yeah.
It's an award-winning show. I'm not sure what award yet it's going to win, but we thank you always for joining us. Truly, we love having you here, that kind of thing, so forth and so on. Really appreciate you. Christopher, what would you like to add?
I think I got to go shit again.
Okay, enjoy yourself, okay? Shit for both of us.
I can't do that.
Shit Junior. Okay, we'll see you all.
Shit Junior.